When I'm not sharpening my sword or being a talking dragon, I'm listening to In the Corner Back by the Woodpile. And you should too.
I'm Spung Counter Guy, thanks for dropping by. This here is another edition of Trying to Herd Cats, the mental adventures of me throwing anonymous quotes at anonymous folks and seeing what pans out. First quote, a cup of coffee commits one to 40 years of friendship.
Oh, I like that because I have a coffee shop and I've seen it in action. I've seen marriages.
Really?
Oh, plenty. And people tell me all the time, well, I met there. You know, I met my wife there. And I can just see coffee with a caffeine induces conversation. And nothing can happen without a conversation. You know, everything starts with a conversation. So, you know, a lot of great things have happened there. This one guy, his sister was murdered. And he went to the cafe and just sitting there and saw someone he knew, and he didn't say anything to anybody. And the person that person was with a group of people and introduced him to his future wife.
Really?
Yeah. So I think it was like the day of the funeral, and it was that evening he was at the cafe.
Again, a cup of coffee commits one to 40 years of friendship.
It depends if that guy loves coffee too much.
True. If he doesn't like coffee, then yeah, my friend.
Yeah, but I agree with that. I agree because I feel like, and that's why one of the reasons, even when we met first time, I was like, I'd like you to come to my house and we just at least drink something together. Yes. It strengthens the ties between any two people if they want to meet, you know? Right. Yeah, and I feel like it leaves kind of mark on your memory, like you remember it.
Again, a cup of coffee commits one to 40 years of friendship.
I have been friends with coffee for not quite 40 years.
You were drinking like in the delivery room or something?
When I was in kindergarten.
Some formula, coffee formula?
Yeah. I don't agree with that one.
Okay.
No, wow. I can't remember ever meeting somebody for the first time over a cup of coffee. And if you've got those friends that you want to see on a regular basis and you're going to go do something, then you just go do it. You don't necessarily need the beverage to go with it. Plus, for me, coffee is a personal ritual. And
so you prefer coffee alone?
I have coffee in the mornings and then I don't have it again. So if somebody's here with me in the morning, that's a different relationship than just friendship.
Again, a cup of coffee commits one to 40 years of friendship.
To me, it's 40 years of a love affair of caffeine.
Well, talk about that.
So,
how long have you been going out with this caffeine fella, and what is his intentions?
Well, he really gets me going. I started drinking coffee when I was 13, and I just love it. I actually didn't like the taste of coffee, but I liked the feeling of caffeine so much that I decided throughout high school that instead of drinking coffee, I would just take Vivarin, over-the-counter caffeine pills.
Oh, wow.
So,
because I was about to suggest if you don't like the taste of coffee, I think I think crack cocaine might have the same effect.
Right, yeah.
Without the taste.
Yeah, it's coffee. Less even, though. I mean, you never quite know the dosage. No, so I love drinking coffee, and I do tend to go in cycles with coffee where I will drink so much that I have to wean myself back down.
So how many cups do you drink a day now?
This is my first cup of coffee today, and it will be my only cup of coffee today. But tomorrow I'll probably have two, and then I'll have two all week long. I do work in a coffee shop on the weekends.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought you were just a dentist. Or dental assistant, I'm sorry.
During the week, I do teeth. And on the weekends,
you stain teeth.
Yeah, exactly. I stain them and shine them. I mean, I don't I've had coffee with a lot of people that I don't necessarily feel like I've got 40 years of friendship.
Can you muse why someone might say that?
Maybe just the act of sitting down with somebody and engaging in a ritual. The tea ritual evokes a little bit more of that for me than the than the coffee ritual. But sitting down, preparing, consuming, a pretty much superfluous activity. I mean, we don't need coffee or tea to stay alive. It's not food.
Right.
It's not survival oriented. So it's decorative. And as people, we really like those flourishes in our interactions.
Next quote, don't compare yourself to anyone else because no one is like another, and only God knows the story of each soul.
Each person, like they say, you're individual in many different ways, but God loves you all for all your qualities, good, and even loves you for your, even because of your bad qualities.
Have you ever compared yourself to others?
No, I just don't feel like I measure up to a lot of people. I don't measure up to. I want to try to do better and be better, but maybe in that you can look at other people and say, if I could do that like they do, maybe I would be a better person.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been inspired by other people that you compared yourself to?
Oh, definitely, most definitely. My neighbors, the way they kind of take care of each other, and then my church family. Really look up to the majority of them, what they do for each other and for me too. And
I guess it's rubbing off because you're over there today helping with their dog, right?
Right, but I mean, just like I've always said, if I do something for somebody and they said, can I repay you? And I said, no, you don't need to repay me because somewhere down the road, somebody will do something for me. Mm-hmm. And that's happened time and time again.
So it won't necessarily be from the same person?
Oh, no. And I tell them that. I said, it probably won't be from you, but there'll be another person down the road that will do me a favor. So that's how I get paid back, by doing favors for people, that people do favors for me, but it's not.
When's the last time that someone did a favor for you?
During this big snow, there was many, many favors. I mean, I had two different men, and I didn't ask them to. They came and got the snow from out of my drive so I could get out. And
who were they?
One was a man from the church, and one was my next-door neighbor's brother. And then my next-door neighbor, she takes me to town and takes me out to eat, won't accept any money for it at all. And
takes you to the pool hall?
No, we haven't started that yet. It's in the plan, so.
Again, don't compare yourself to anyone else because no one is like another, and only God knows the story of each soul.
I would like to compare myself to motivate myself. Like, if I see someone doing better than me, I would try to be like him or her. That way I can do better. In the meanwhile, if I can't do it, or I'm still in my where I am in my situation, I don't feel bad, because if you look at the people that they live worse than you, or they are not as good as you are living in every way, so you realize, wow, I'm blessed.
Again, don't compare yourself to anyone else because no one is like another, and only God knows the story of each soul.
No mistake, no improvement. This is bad.
Well, that's interesting you would say that. You know, you live in a communist country, and in communist countries, everybody's supposed to be the same, right?
Yeah.
So how did you get this different idea?
I have told you, I am special. I mean, I am the daughter of the guard, and I will act what he asked me to do.
Do you think that everybody is children of God?
Yeah.
But you're saying you listen, but they most people don't listen to God?
Yes. In China, a lot of the people listen themselves.
Oh.
Because, you know, all we educated, I come from the Chinese books when we were very small. And no other new fresh air, just like the foreign elements come inside. All we got education from the books, from the teachers. And teachers are educated by their teachers, which have the very old thoughts.
I know that because I've known you for a few years, that because you weren't like everybody else, it caused you lots of pain and feeling lonely. Do you think because of your ideas that God is with you, and even though the people aren't, did that help you?
Sometimes it will help me, but sometimes then I just do not think that a lot, because I don't know what's this feeling come out. I just say, when I walk along the road, I know I will be safe.
Right.
And what I'm thinking and what I am doing is perfectly a protection way of my life. Okay, to say, there are so many airplane accidents. But if I am in the airplane now, I would not have such the worries. I know I will be different, and I know I will be safe.
Do you think you're being kept safe for a purpose? Do you think God has a job for you in the future? Like, not a job, not 工作, but like a mission?
使命. Yes. Can be like this. Yes. I'm not sure.
And you got this idea from yourself, or did you read stories and think, oh, this is me too?
No. I got this come from myself.
Wow. If you ever get discouraged and start to think that maybe you being different is a bad thing, I'll tell you this, that all the foreigners that I live with in China, we all thought you were special. And we couldn't believe that you were somehow born in China because you were so different. You know, full of love and kindness. And not that there's not other kind people in China, but there was something very genuine about you. I don't think you wanted something from us. You just wanted to shine your light and wanted to laugh a lot.
I just want to try my best to help others. Even though I have no time to try them, but when I met, I usually try. And I never think he will pay me back. And sometimes I think this is a balance.
Right.
And I do believe when you become older, or the half-life, this good will return back to me.
Kind of like karma. 因果报应.
Seems like this.
Again, don't compare yourself to anyone else because no one is like another, and only God knows the story of each soul.
I'm inclined to agree with that one. I'll explain the very difficult situation I had. I had a situation with my ex-husband. I'm glad this is anonymous. Because he physically attacked me. And when he did that, nobody else could see that. And I did go and I reported it to the police. And when he got to the station, and they asked him questions, he just kept on saying no comment. A bit like the Fifth Amendment here. No comment to everything. Anyway, eventually they didn't have enough evidence because the time span in which it happened and when it had been, I had brought it to their attention, was too great, and they didn't have the evidence. So obviously the police think, well, you know, nothing happened to her. So when I got him in a room on my own, I said to him, and I am like this in life, mm-hmm. I said to him, well, you know, you've allowed the police and everybody else to think that you didn't do what you did to me, but I know, and you know, and God knows. So as long as God knows, and God will deal with you, he's the judge of all of us. I don't try to judge anyone. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to judge me, because I just think ultimately God is the judge.
Mm-hmm. What did he say in response to that?
He didn't say anything, because he knows.
There's a debate whether God's judgment comes in the afterlife or in this life. Do you feel like your ex-husband has already been judged in this life, like he's suffering because of what he did?
You know, I never want to have a situation where I say, I told you so, and there's what's happened to you, and it's because of what you did to me. I still don't even want to say that. But to a certain extent, I feel as though he has had something, you know, because he's, you know, he's not in a terribly good space. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that doesn't mean to say I have to be nasty to him, because I am not the judge. Mm-hmm. See, he's the father of my children, so I have to try and get along with him for the sake of my children. And if God still has a plan for him, then he will dish it out. But I don't ever like to be able to say, serve you right, I told you so, this is what was coming, you got what was coming.
So you're not waiting for that to happen and say, ha-ha?
No.
Okay.
That's even good. Though I can see that he has difficulties, I don't want to say that.
And last quote, if you're feeling helpless, help someone.
I think that that's strangely accurate, because I believe that when you're feeling helpless, part of what gets you out of that place is reconnecting with other people and recognizing that you're not alone in feeling helpless, and that you have special and unique skills and abilities and compassion to share with other people that will connect with them and help them out of their place. And somehow I think when you do that, you pull yourself out of that place at the same time. It creates a nice little rope that you can both crawl out of the hole together with.
Again, if you're feeling helpless, help someone.
Well, that would be a big undertaking to help someone, but depending what help, if I thought I could help them, I probably would. I don't like to see someone that needs help and no one just ignoring them, just like when I see the man standing with the sign that he wants food and he wants to work. And I thought, well, I believe I could do that, but still I would be afraid to take a man into my home with me, the only adult.
Right.
But I mean, I feel real sorry for them if they really want to work and they can't find work. Because a lot of people like that really are good workers. Just like here in Kentucky, they employ a lot of Mexicans, and a lot of people don't like it. But it's like my son said, that a lot of those people around now, they don't want to work.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the Mexicans come in and they're willing to work. So, I mean, there's always two ways to look at something.
Again, if you're feeling helpless, help someone.
I think those are just like one of those silly quotes that people say to make you feel better, but it doesn't really work.
Have you tried it?
Well, I guess so, because I'm a social worker.
Yeah. But are you always feeling helpless?
I think at some time I did feel helpless, but it didn't happen. Nothing happened.
Nothing helped you out of it.
Nothing helped me out of it. I left social work for a while, mm-hmm. and it was because of that whole idea. So it was like I helped a lot of people, and it still did not help me. So
did it help them?
I don't know.
No, because they were coming back.
They come back for more.
But they were coming back for
repeat
more
customers.
Work.
Yeah.
You know, repeat customers. So I left and did something like really mean and put people in jail.
Again, if you're feeling helpless, help someone.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Can
yes.
you give an example of when,
oh, gosh, you
when
know,
you've been in a pickle and you say, well, if I can't help me, I might as well help somebody else?
No, it's just, and it's a pattern sometimes. You know, I go to a big church.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's very small in many ways. Mm-hmm. And we're always getting opportunities to pray or do something. We just, I don't know, we have funny friends, you know. Some of the people with the most interesting past, as mm-hmm. we call it, are very, very, very dear to us, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like last week, Tuesday, we went to the rescue mission. And when I first started doing that 9 years ago, they had three services where they gave out the turkey, the fresh celery, the fresh onions, the fresh mm-hmm. potatoes, the canned, yada, yada, all that stuff for a big meal and 3 days. I go and do that, and it's hard physically for me because I'm an old lady, but it's worth every bit of it. You
okay.
know?
So that's in a case where you, okay, I see what you're saying. Like,
yeah, because
physically may not be the best thing for you, but you do it anyway.
Yeah, you go, and I chose to what they call push the boxes, which means that they have a conveyor belt and you push okay. the box along. But you're with people, you're with the family.
Uh-huh.
So you get a chance to talk. Uh-huh. You know, do you like cranberries? Do you like, you know, and treat people who are on the verge of homelessness,
right.
really poor.
Mm-hmm.
And treat them like you treat your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Another person that's just as valuable mm-hmm. in the world, and because they don't always get treated like that.
Right. Right now, when people talk about compassion, that's kind of the first thing they think about, is like feeding the homeless
yeah.
or give them
yeah.
money, whatever. But then, you know, if you've ever been around them, I'm sure as you have, you know, you find out like, well, some of it can end up being enabling or a scam
yeah.
and all that kind
yeah.
of stuff. So how do you draw a line on that?
You know, I've worked with that a long time, and there's a pattern mm-hmm. among people who are homeless or very poor.
Yeah.
And it's like they haven't grown up like you and I have grown up
mm-hmm.
to where you get up in the morning and you go to work.
Right.
Or you cook breakfast or yeah. you wash dishes, uh-huh. you know, and you wash the clothes. And
so they don't have the habits.
They don't have that kind of habits that... Uh-huh. make it easy for them to break that cycle of poverty, going to a job and uh-huh. and completing a job and, you know, doing a good job. They mm-hmm. don't understand that. And it just has happened. I used to work in a hospital where we had a free clinic.
Uh-huh.
And the same people, virtually, yeah. are the same people I see today on, you know, that are...
How do you ever try to... help them acquire those habits
yeah.
without being a jerk. I mean, because that's
yeah,
a bully.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In fact, I was thinking today as I made soup out of the turkey bones, uh-huh. you know, and all this stuff, I thought, you know, maybe you could find a way, maybe through the rescue mission, to show people that probably don't know how
uh-huh.
to either cook a turkey or instead of throwing out all that delicious
yeah.
stuffing stuff
giblets,
and
uh-huh.
just put it in a pot with an onion and show uh-huh. how to, because we went through a period, remember when
yes.
we, Pat said, are we poor, Mom? And I said, no, we're not poor. Right now we're really broke, but we're not poor. There's a difference.
Yeah.
But give people some insight on how to make things go better, you
yeah.
know, how to make your money go. But most people don't cook. They go to McDonald's.
Sure.
It's cheap, it's filling,
uh-huh.
very filling, and
it's tasty.
Tasty,
it's
yeah.
A lot better than casserole.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
yeah, a lot better than casserole, but it's also kind of expensive.
In the end,
yeah.
it's more expensive.
In the end,
yeah.
yeah. But yeah, you feel like you need to help people without being condescending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
you know?
So let me ask you this. Have you seen somebody change?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about that. How
okay,
did that happen?
There's a guy I know. And he's a young man. His brother's in prison for life.
Uh-huh.
He's been in prison.
Uh-huh.
He's very open about his past life, and mm-hmm. he's become a new Christian in the past 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's tough to change because your friends are different. You
right.
know? Yeah.
So in this case, religion had something to do with it.
Religion definitely had something
okay.
to do with it.
Okay, so go ahead. Yeah.
But he took on his daughter,
uh-huh.
who at first was what we call a wild child. I mean,
uh-huh.
she was just totally out of control. And now she's in kindergarten. She's a very sweet little girl now. Just adores her. But
Even now, with his conversion of faith, he's had trouble at the jobs, on the verge of being homeless 3 times, you know, but he's still, we've encouraged him, and people know who know will help him, and yeah.
So it sounds like he's trying.
He's trying, yeah. And I can tell sometimes when he writes that he's not well-educated because right. he doesn't spell or, you know, or his grammar isn't, but he's a friend of mine, you know, mm. and I'll give him a hug every time I yeah. see him, you know, and that's...
And he's persistent too.
Yeah, he? Yeah, I'm persistent with him too okay. about you know encouraging him all the time, and he gets very discouraged, and I don't blame him. He said, "Here I am, you know, God, I'm a Christian, of course, you know."
Yeah, where's the payoff, man?
Then, yeah. And that, of course, that's we're not the church of the prosperity
yeah.
church, like some. You know, if yeah. you're a good enough Christian, nothing will ever go wrong in your life. Surprise!
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's sometimes the opposite, really.
Yeah, actually, it is right often. Yeah, yeah. And it's just God yeah. never said that he would give you all the good stuff. He just would just say he'd be with you.
The strength to yeah. handle it. Yeah.
And the source of the quotes? A cup of coffee commits 1 to 40 years of friendship. This is a Kurdish proverb, and the Kurds have been drinking coffee for at least 600 years. Next quote, don't compare yourself to anyone else because no one is like another, and only God knows the story of each soul. It is attributed to Immaculée Ilibagiza, a Tutsi who during the 1994 Rwandan genocide was hidden with 7 other women in a Hutu pastor's bathroom for 91 days. She emerged from hiding to find nearly her entire family exterminated. But since that time, has become a speaker and author, she recounting her struggles in the book Live to Tell. She became a U.S. citizen in 2013. And last quote, if you're feeling helpless, help someone. Is from Aung San Suu Kyi, a Burmese democracy advocate who probably would have become prime minister of the country in 1990 had the military junta not nullified the election and placed her under arrest. Suu Kyi remained confined to her home under house arrest for nearly 15 years before finally being released in 2010. In the Corner Back by the Woodpile podcast is produced by A Closet, A Pocket, and A Suitcase. You can email us at spuncounterguy@hotmail.com. And a special thanks to thebrofisticate.com.